Hi guys, welcome back to another Way podcast. My name is Michelle and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host
Mateus.
Let's go. We are sick buddies. We are ill together.
Shelly gave me some bug or some sickness. And I was in the trenches a couple of days ago.
Oh my gosh.
We were both in the trenches. Different trenches.
Different trenches, but in the trenches nonetheless.
Yeah.
There's something about like knowing someone else is going through the exact same thing.
If we're going to suffer, we're going to suffer together.
Yes, I'll take you down with me. No, that's not what Jesus teaches. But guys, welcome to another series of our generosity series, another episode of our generosity series. Today we'll be diving into
sacrificial gifts
and sacrificial giving. If you haven't checked out any of the other episodes, make sure to go check them out, because who wouldn't want to learn how to be more generous in the ways that you love and in the way that you give and share your faith with friends and family and those around you. Let's grow in generosity together, eh? But let's dive straight in. Mateus, I'm going to ask you a question. You ready for this one?
Shoot.
What makes something sacrificial for each of us?
I think the idea of sacrifice rolls around giving something up for something else. But that thing that you're giving up must feel costly. Because if it doesn't feel costly, then it's not really a sacrifice.
Right.
Then it's maybe just a transaction. Like I could give you
That's 1p so
for a Lamborghini. I'm not really sacrificing anything for that. You know, it's just you're giving me something, or it's a transaction. Or like I could give you a fist bump for another fist bump. It's not really anything. Okay. That was way uncalled for.
That wasn't generous.
But there's no cost in that. And so it's not a sacrifice. So for something to be a sacrifice, it needs to be costly. It needs to have taken something from me. I know for me, like, for example, I'm quite introverted. And so I love my alone time. So, and I love my friends as well. But when I'm invited to a certain event or like a birthday party, let's say, I more often than not, my own desire is to be on my ones at home. But I know that not only is it good for me to just be with people, I know that it's honoring to that person that has invited me to their birthday party or to an event or whatever, to go and to be there.
Right.
And so I choose to be there. That's not like a huge sacrifice on my behalf. Very trivial, very small sacrifice. But that's an example of a sacrifice in my life. Or even like, this is really such like a sibling thing. I just thought of this.
Come and tell us.
But like when I've got a younger brother, and when I was young, I had to hang out with him all the time with my mates. And that was always really, really annoying.
Oh, shit.
I had to sacrifice like my street cred to hang out with my younger brother, you know? My 12-year-old street cred. It's very trivial, but like it's the idea that you give something up.
Yes.
For something else. What about you? What do you think?
Honestly, I think what sacrifice means for me is when I have to lay something down for the sake of something else or for others, to love others, giving something up or something that just takes from me. But then I know like in the long run, it's probably for something greater.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have an example. I remember when God just sort of reminded me of this like pain and this sort of resentment that I was holding against somebody. To me, I was like, this obviously doesn't feel good, but also I feel like I'm getting justice for them by like hating them, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
But then God was just like, you're actually hurting yourself more than you are hurting them, because they've actually forgotten about it and they've moved on. And I'm just like, great. So you're telling me to forgive them. And I hated that. But then God was like, you know, love is a sacrifice. And it's true. God calls us to love our enemies. And when you actually execute that, that was actually so difficult. Like when you read it in the Bible, you're like, yeah, of course, I'm going to love my enemies. But when you actually have to do it and walk it out, oh my gosh, it's so hard, because you're like, you know, I actually don't like this person, but I know that my treasures are like stored up in heaven. So if God's calling us to love those around us, love our neighbors, love our enemies, then I have to do that. And if that means like laying down my like guilt, my pain, then I have to do that.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because like the type of sacrifice that Isaiah talked about and you mentioned a little bit is a type of sacrifice that is for something else. But when we talk about generosity and sacrifice under that umbrella, the outcome or the other end of sacrifice isn't always as obvious.
Right.
Because like when I'm being generously sacrificial, that means I'm being sacrificial maybe with my time or my money or my reputation. But the other end of that sacrifice often isn't as obvious. You know, when I'm being generous with my money, giving it to someone, I'm actually not getting that money back. I'm giving it to that person sacrificially. But as we read in scripture, there is actually a call to be sacrificially generous.
Right.
Why do you think that is? Why does it say that in scripture?
To be
sacrificially generous.
Sacrificially generous.
Or
because,
give sacrificially.
Because, well, I think it's because it's not meant to benefit us in a sense.
It's like not about us.
It's not about us. You know, at the end of the day, loving those around us, being generous to those around us isn't about us. It's actually a response to what God and Jesus has done for us. Jesus died a painful, torturous death on the cross for us because of love. And he loved us, and he did that so that he could draw us in into his heart. And my response as a child is a grateful one with gratitude. And like it says in Matthew, freely receive, freely give. So if I've received this radical love from Jesus, then I should do the same, where I love others too. So this, you know, a picture of like it being a sacrifice, it's because it's not like it didn't start with us. It actually started with Jesus. Jesus was the one that did it first. And he's our example. He's our shepherd, and we follow him. So if he's done that, then we should do the same, if that makes sense.
I love that perspective, because then it all automatically takes the lens away from us.
Oh, yeah.
And points it towards Jesus. And actually, he's the purpose as to why we actually partake in it. Because I know, like, our society, it does celebrate generosity. But it also celebrates self-preservation.
Oh, yeah.
And like the accumulation of things and wealth. And we're not really making a comment on that at all. But when we start looking at Jesus and start putting the lens on Jesus, it takes the lens off of like the things that we have in this world. And then from that place, we start actually realizing that even the things here on earth, we've not received. We only have them because of God has allowed them.
Right.
And so if they belong to God, and if we've given everything to God, then it would be such a joy and so easy for us to be able to give sacrificially, be generous sacrificially, with our time, with our reputation, whatever it may be. If we're like with someone we don't love, like someone we find difficult, just give sacrificially to this person, because we know Jesus did it for us.
Right.
And that we are called to do the same for others. It's just like, it makes it easy when we're not looking at ourselves, when we're not self-conscious.
Yeah, Matthias, I really love that. Honestly, it's so real, where like, I just love what you're saying in terms of like taking our eyes off of ourselves and laying it onto God. And this whole thing around like sacrifice and giving to God, or giving to those people around us, and how it's a sacrifice, it can be really difficult. And it's actually, you know, in terms of the context of what we're talking about, like sacrifice and giving and being generous, it's actually meant to be difficult, if that makes sense. Like, it's meant to be a bit of a challenge, because it means that it sort of exposes parts of our hearts where we are like holding things too tightly. And I think anyone who's listening right now, who finds this like areas in your life where that's like monetary, time, stuff like that, giving that away to people, where that might feel like costly and difficult, I actually want to invite all of us to like lean into that more. Like, have a conversation with friends. It's not something to be like embarrassed about. It's actually a great conversation to like open up with friends, because we want to grow in being generous. And I think like it tests our faith in God and our trust in God. And obviously it says in the Bible, like, consider it pure joy, the testing of your faith, that it produces endurance. So like, this is something that we can lean into, and it's a good thing. If it's challenging you, awesome. Like, actually press into it, ask God questions, ask him, how can I do this well? How can I give generously? How can I like love? It's a sacrifice, but what are you teaching me in this?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's so encouraging. Because there will be moments in our lives where we are confronted with giving things, and actually it would be really easy, you know. Like, it will be a moment in my life where I'm just said, give this, and I'm like, yeah, sick, take it. It might actually have a lot of value monetarily, worldly, or it might be a lot of time, but yes, take it. And then actually there'll be moments and there'll be days where you wake up that day and you realize you might get a nudge from God or whatever it might be. You think, oh, I really don't want to give that away.
Right.
That's a part of life though.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the beauty in it being a sacrifice.
Totally.
Because it is a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Otherwise it wouldn't be sacrificial if you're not, it's not actually costly. I like that encouragement, because that sometimes it's easy and there are easy types of giving and there are very hard types of giving.
Oh yeah.
But we're invited into those moments as well.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean you're bad if you find certain types of giving hard. Mm. But that encouragement that you brought is like, no, just because it's bad, lean into it. It kind of reminds me of a passage that in Mark 12 of a widow that comes to the temple and she gives, and it says she gives out of the little that she has.
Mm.
And does it say, I don't know, it says like a couple pennies. But the idea that, and then it compares her giving to some of the others around her. And it says they gave out of the plenty that they had and the difference there, and how actually for those that had plenty, and they might have actually even given abundantly more materially, but those that had plenty, it wasn't as big as a sacrifice for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, who she had little, she gave sacrificially at the temple, and how there is honor placed on this widow because of her heart posture towards the way that she was giving. And again, it just brings it back to that theme that we have, right? That it's not about us, and it's not only about us, but it's not even about necessarily what we're giving.
Right.
Because otherwise it'd just be a competition, just who can give more. But it's actually more about the heart posture that we have towards these
things.
The closer, the more like, I don't hear my heart in this. The harder something is to give up, I think the fonder God looks at it. If we give something to God or to others that we believe to be cheap, then actually the person that receives it, they might appreciate it. But God knows that wasn't really something that we held dearly. But if we give to them something that we know to be expensive, that we hold dear to us, that is actually very, very hard to give up, then that's a much greater honor for that person. That's a much greater honor for God, because it's something valuable to us. Not something cheap, not something that we can just discard.
That's really good. I think it's an act of worship, isn't it? Like, giving out of a place that costs you and where it feels uncomfortable almost, because it means a lot to you, which means it's going to mean a lot to God, because he's going to see your heart in it, because he sees, you know, everything. But then it was also sort of reminding me of how it exposes our heart as well, and where we put our trust. Are we putting our trust in money, people, opportunities, career, all of that, things of this world? Are we putting our trust in things of this world? Are we putting our trust in Jesus and in God, and trusting that he actually has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and that he cares deeply about the things that we also care about? I think I remember watching something, they were just talking about giving as well. And they were like, I remember having a time and experience with God where he told me to give, or like give up this desire in my heart that I really, you know, held on tightly to, because he said that, like, he was telling me how he cares about it more than I do, and how, like, because he cares so much about it, He's the one that's put those desires and those cares in my heart for those things, that he's actually going to like, he wants to give that to us, but he's almost like, do you care? Are you putting your care and your trust in this thing, or are you actually putting it in me? And like when you give it to God, it's not like you're like dismissing it off completely. Like you're just actually giving over the power to him so that he can like bring it into your life in the right time.
It reminds me of a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, you'll never truly own something you have not first given away. And it's the idea that, okay, our money we have, but until we're able to be open-handed with our money and be able to be generous with it, even if it's difficult, our money will actually own us. We won't own our money. Our time is precious and is and we need to steward it well. But until we are able to give it to God and through God be able to be generous to others and actually give our time to people, our time will own us. You know, like until we're fully able to let go of something, be open-handed with it, we're not truly ever going to be able to own it. And so this act of sacrificially giving is actually an act of faith, being like, actually, this area of my life, oh my gosh, it's tough. You know, oh, it's I hold on to it. Oh, this is difficult. But God, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm going to step out in faith, being like, this is an act of faith. Here you go, Shelley. Here's my time. Be like,
thanks,
Mateo. You know, or like, here's my abundant money. I have no money, but be like, but here you go, Shelley. Here's my like, I'm going to be generous with my money as an act of faith. Being like, okay, God, this I give to you because I'm not going to be owned by my money.
And I feel like you're like releasing something into the spiritual atmosphere when you're doing that.
Yeah.
You're like letting go of like the power of something that could have a hold on you. Mm-hmm. You're almost like releasing it and you're like, actually, no, this doesn't have a hold on me.
Or even like a big one, fear of man.
Dude.
Being like being sacrificial. And this might be a little bit abstract because it's not like generous in the same way that you are with money, for example. But there's this moment in the Bible with Mary at dinner with Jesus, and she brings out this expensive perfume and rubs it on his feet and washes his feet with her hair. And Jesus honors her and says and praises her for it, whilst others in the room were mocking her and looking down at her. And she was generous monetarily with the perfume. It was, I think it was about like a year's wage in value, right? Very expensive. But I think equally as important, she was sacrificing her reputation. She'd gotten her hair out, which was very radical in the Middle Eastern culture at the time. She got her hair out and she started washing Jesus' feet with her hair. And so she sacrificed her reputation for the man that was in front of her. And of course, that was Jesus. And we're not going to be coming like bumping shoulders with Jesus on the streets in the same way that she was. But there will be times where we're called to let go of our reputation. Like, we're not going to be too cool for school in this area. We're going to, I'm going to go and I'm going to look undignified so that I'm able to serve this person. Or so I'm able to be that, be in that place, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sacrificing my reputation, my fear of man to God. And that is also a step of faith, being like, this doesn't own me. What people think of me don't own me. I'm going to be foolishly sacrificial with what I have.
Yeah. And then the whole topic of that, actually. Oh my gosh. I actually just want to read the scriptures. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is in John 12, verse 3 to 8. I'm reading NLT right here. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who soon betrayed him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cares for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. But you always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And I think that last verse you'll always have the poor among you, but you'll not always have me. Just sort of like highlights to me that like any sort of giving unto the Lord is so worth giving. Because yes, we will have the poor with us, just meaning that we'll have people that we can help around us all the time. But like the times where the opportunities that we have to give to Jesus are like, whenever they're there, like you want to give to him because we've been given so abundantly ourselves that we want to give back, you know, and like love on him because he's so, like he's lavished his love on us. But this act of like giving, fear of man, it's like you're choosing to actively say, I actually want to choose to focus my mind on and my mind and my attention on what God has to say about me more than what others have to say. Like, it's not disregarding what others have to say, but it's just more like what others have to say doesn't have like the power that we keep on saying, the power and the hold on us, that like where we're like so conscious about like, what do they have to say about me? Oh my gosh, left, right and center, you're just looking around like, I don't want to do something wrong in case of the way that they're going to label me. When you don't do that, you're saying, I actually see how what God says about me is far, far more important and greater than what others have to say. And that's what Mary did. Like she, it's like, it's just such a beautiful act of sacrifice. Like she got on the floor in amongst of like probably tons of men and she got her hair out and she just poured this oil on, like this perfume on Jesus' feet.
I completely agree with you. And like another part of like loving God, like a huge part of loving God actually, which we see in the commandments that Jesus gave us, right? Mm. Love God as the first commandment, but then love others as the next commandment, the two biggest commandments that we're giving. So like a huge part of loving God is loving others. And Jesus even says in Matthew, he says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do unto me. And so like this is a clear place in scripture where it says what we do to our brothers and sisters, we're actually doing to God. So when we harm our brothers and sisters, it hurts God's heart. But when we love each other, when we treat each other with respect, but then also when we are generous with each other, it's almost as if we are doing it unto God because we're doing it out of that same place of worship. Just as Mary, for example, was washing Jesus's feet as worship to God,
right. We
are also called as a big part of our love to God to love others. And that is also a part of our worship relationship with him. And I'm even reminded of 1 James. It says in James 1, verse 27, my version says, religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. But there's a different translation, which I love, but it's the English easy read version. It says a little bit about me. It says this, the worship that God wants is this. So it's not the religion, but the worship that God wants is this. Caring for orphans and widows who need help and keep yourself free from the world's evil influences. This is the kind of worship that God accepts as pure and good. And so a huge part of our relationship with God is actually the way that we interact with others. Is the way that we love upon others, the way that we give to others. And we're called to give in a caring way. We're called to take care of each other sacrificially, take care of the orphan and the widow.
That was really good, Matthias. It's this sort of like, it's the opposite of what the world says for us to do. It's like it's not a give or a take thing. It's like give because you have first been... you've like first received because Jesus has given to us. And it's just such a beautiful way of like, you know, really following those commandments of like loving God and loving people. And I love how it has like that connection where not only are we like, when we love people and those around us, that we're also loving God when we're doing it. It's just so cool. Which then also...
it just adds purpose to it, right? Because right. It can feel like it's give, like, oh, this is that's a depressing life.
Yeah. Where
that's all your life is about.
Mm.
But actually, there's a lot. There's so much purpose to our giving.
Mm.
Life can feel as if like it's just everything's just coming out of us, but when we're receiving from God, things coming out of us, it would feel so natural, right?
Right.
And because it adds purpose.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry for interjecting.
No, totally not. Don't worry about that. But then also just sort of like to wrap it up, it's just so beautiful how like our sacrifice is pleasing to God and he sees it and he loves it. And like we're his children, so he delights in us when we do that. And he feels like, you know, that we really trust him with all that we've been given, whether that's like our time, money, everything. We're stewarding it all well according to what he tells us to do it. So, yeah, let this be an encouragement for all of us. Then also kind of like reminds me of Matthew 10, verse 39, where it says, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Which is so beautiful because it's almost like when you lose yourself in Jesus, you're going to find yourself. You're actually going to find who you really are in God, which is really cool. But guys, I hope this is something that we can all learn from, where we can love those around us well, generously. But yeah, I just want to encourage you guys to do a little bit more of your own like research, chat to your friends around like things that are challenging you in terms of giving. But we want to thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode. Make sure to tune into the next one, and thank you. We love you guys. Bye.